The explosive new film, Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost, exposes secrets behind the government's takedown of General Michael Flynn.
Flynn knew what the intel world had been up to.
He ordered the first audit of the use of contractors. This set off alarm bells.
He told the truth. He was the most dangerous person for Donald Trump to hire. They had to get rid of Flynn.
Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost. Available now. Watch it today. Go to SalemNow.com. SalemNow.com.
We are Living by the Word Ministries, a nonprofit organization dedicated to one cause. That cause is the truth given in the Holy Bible, which we believe is the inerrant and infallible Word of God, conferred to man to live by. We let the Word of God be the final authority as to what is or is not true. We strongly feel that if we do not expose false doctrine, we only encourage it. This ministry is designed to challenge you from an apologetic point of view. 1 Peter 3:15 instructs us to always be prepared to give an answer to everyone who asks you to give the reason for the hope that you have. But do this with gentleness and respect. This is Michael Tinsley. Please stay tuned while we arm you, the believer, to keep living by the Word. It's the noble thing to do.
Well, good evening, everyone, and welcome to the Bible Information Brokers. The Bible Information Brokers is a presentation of the Living by the Word Ministries. We are here to answer your open and honest Bible questions. My name is Eric Stanton. I will be taking your phone calls tonight, setting you up to speak with our other teammates. I am here in our booth here with our engineer extraordinaire, Ozzy, making sure everything runs smoothly. Before I introduce the rest of the teammates here, let me give you the number to start calling. That number is 888-995-5552. Once again, 888-995-5552. Or like I say, if it makes it easier for you, 888-995-KKLA. And now let me introduce one of our teammates to you. And before I give him the air, let me let him know, Daryl, that yes, I have started Facebook, so we're good there. and that teammate will be Daryl Easy D. Fulton. Daryl, how are you?
I'm doing well, Mr. Stanton. How are you, sir?
I am doing well, especially now that I got Facebook up.
I love this live presentation, man, because yes, we can be live. That's just what we are, and I really appreciate that. So, ladies and gentlemen, Eric gave you the number. If you want to start calling in now, he'll get to those calls, and we'll be able to deal with your question by way of telephone. But right now, let me open up the program with a word of prayer. So if you would join me, and we'll dedicate this time to the Lord like we should be doing. Father, thank you. Thank you once again for breath in the body. Many people, even I know a few that no longer have breath in their body and they're already ushered into their eternity. I just ask and pray, Lord, that as we have time here on earth, as we continue with the issues of life, the vicissitudes of life, Lord, that you would make it ever so apparent how you are not only in charge, but it's all about you. Help us understand that from a biblical perspective, where ergo we call ourselves the Bible Information Brokers, Lord. Thank you for the privilege of working in your kingdom. Father, I just ask that everyone under the sound of my voice, Father God, that you would influence in only the way that you can so that this program can be, this consecrated time, be a glorification to you and an edification to ourselves. That combination alone, Father God, I think would be honoring to the time that we have, the breath that we have, and to take this time to dedicate it again to you, because it indeed is all about you. If nobody didn't know it, believer or unbeliever, they will soon find out from the perspective of our broadcast. So help us be diligent, Father God. Help us to purpose to set aside those things that would distract us from this time together, and the listening team, the staff team, engineer team. Father God, we just ask and pray that then this broadcast would be honoring to you. Help us, Lord. Help us even as we do it. In Jesus' precious and matchless name, amen. Well, ladies and gentlemen, Eric gave you the phone number where you can start calling him right now. Please take that opportunity to do so at 888-995-5552, 888-995-5552. And if you happen to be listening by way of any of the cyberspace formats, be it by Facebook, Tweet, Truth Social, and any other media that you may hear live and also futuristically archived, then please take an opportunity, even as you listen to the show in that form, to get your questions formulated. Make comments on the social media. Even in your comment, there's questions that we can all grow from. But right now, there's one address, and that's Bible Info Brokers. One address, various platforms. The platform of Facebook, live right now. If you're on Facebook, you can kind of see us in studio here. I'm waving at you there. Please click that share button and let folks in your contact know that you're listening. We really appreciate that. That's Facebook. If you want to send us an email at our .com website, again, same address. We also have the ability to receive your questions on Twitter, I should say. That's the proper way of saying, I guess, and also Messenger and also Truth Social. And we're working on some other formats. We might be able to take advantage of all the formats so that we can communicate with you, the listening audience, the teammates, like I like to call you in the listening world, to participate in the show now and futuristically. So please take an opportunity to avail yourself to Bible Info Brokers at Facebook, email, Tweet, Messenger, or even Truth Social. And we appreciate you chiming in. Please take advantage of those. And let's have many questions in a seamless show, because I do have quite a few things I want to talk about. But without further ado, I want to introduce my other teammate of Eric Mines, and is Professor Craig Hawkins, who I will affectionately call PCH. PCH, you are on telephonically. Please, what do you want to talk about? Maybe he's taking his break early there. I don't know. PCH, can you hear me? Because I don't hear you. Is he there? Hello? Testing 1, 2. Well, I don't hear him. I don't know if the listening audience can hear. I don't hear him at all. I know he's connected. Yeah, I see the connection there, but I don't hear Professor Craig. PCH, are you there? Okay, I don't know why I'm not hearing him. Well, what we'll do is, let me give the information again. At PCH, if you do hear me, but somehow you're speaking and you're not coming through, just check mute and all those other things on your end and see if we can get it together. If not, we'll call you right back. So anyway, folks, that's no problem. What we do is give the number out, information again, and we get this little technology together here. The number is 888-995-5552. 888-995-5552 is a number you can call right now, and Eric will set you up, put you in the queue for your questions to be asked and answered. And the other formats that I gave earlier is Bible Info Brokers. You might want to write that down, just Bible Info Brokers. In any format that we have so far, the five or so that we have, Facebook, email, .com website, Tweet, Messenger, or even True Social, they're all the same address. I find that very efficient. That's Bible Info Broker. So please take the opportunity to avail yourselves to those formats and get your questions in there for tonight and for the future. And we really appreciate you utilizing those formats. I'm going to give Professor Hawkins another chance, an opportunity to respond to my hue and cry. PCH, are you there with me, sir? And I still don't hear him for some reason. I don't know why. Well, let me do something here. I'm going to put him on hold, and then I'm going to bring him back myself. Maybe it's something in here. PCH, are you there? Still don't hear him. That's very interesting. And I know he's there. He's probably saying, hey, it's not me. It's not my fault. It's not my fault. And I'm sure it isn't this time. But, well, we'll see if we can get him back. Maybe let me do this. Let me put them on hold and then try the other side and then bring people up on the other side. Let me see if that'll work. PCH, are you there with me?
Hello.
Oh, good. So what I did is I flipped it. So what I'll do is I'll try it that way. I'll see if that's okay. We'll see if that works. Yeah, I can see if we can handle it. Well, welcome, PCH. Yeah, no, how are you? Were you hearing me when I was saying all that?
No, you're fading it out. Sorry, the trouble is on your end. I had my phone on the whole time.
Yeah, I actually clicked you on the other side. So let me do this to do it our normal way. I'm going to put you on hold for a hot second and then bring you back and see if it is working. All right. PCH, are you there? I see what the problem is. Okay, let me do this and do this. Okay. Hey, PCH, I know you're there now because I figured it out. Now, if I figure things out, you know. Man, I may have to ask for a check or something like that in the future. Wow. But anyway, I just did a little flip job. You know how we have one side that we click our guests on and the other side? So I just flipped it. So hopefully we get our guests to be on. So I'm going to do a lot of clicking today. But anyway, I'm glad you're with us. How you doing, sir?
I'm not so sure about on your side. But.
Yeah, really. I mean, oh, you know, a little technology stuff. We're big boys. We can handle it.
But yeah, no surprise, not the end of the world.
I'm sorry, say it again.
No surprise, not the end of the world.
Yeah, now it's a little broken. This is sort of weird technology thing going on here. You know, it happens, but one more time, PCH. What's going on with you?
Well, I'm here.
Yeah, I hear you loud and clear now. And again, it could be the headphones. It could be all kind of stuff. But look, I'm glad you're here. So why don't we do this? Before I ask you what you want to talk about, let's just go right to the callers. And then we'll take some callers. And then as we have some time in between the callers, we'll, you know, go out and say some things that's happening that we want to talk about. Because I have quite a few things I want to bring up. But I want to do that only in honoring our callers because we ask them to call in and send us questions. And it's basically that format, question and answer. So let's go right to the phones, if I could, if that's okay with you, Professor.
Sounds good, Daryl.
Okay, now I'm going to try something here. So I'm just flip-flopping the way I do it. You know how it works in the studio. So I'm going to bring up Princess Diana on this side. Princess Diana, are you with us? Ah, that's the issue with that side. So I don't hear Princess Diana, so what I'm going to have to do is put her on hold and bring her up on the same side. If you folks don't know what I'm talking about, don't worry about it. Princess, Princess Diana, you guys got to call Craig back. Yeah, now you're there, and I just clicked Craig off. So we have some issues with this, the phone system. So when I brought you on, it's your fault, Princess Diana. You clicked Craig off. By me bringing you on, you just got rid of the professor.
Oh, yeah. I did it.
But you didn't do it on purpose, did you?
Oh, no.
Good. As long as you didn't do it on purpose, but with a purpose. So we just need to call him back again, Eric, and we'll bring him on. I'll see if it works this time on the side we normally have it on. I love live stuff. I'm not a person, even though I'm a black man that has sort of brownish skin or tannish skin, as they say. And I just don't get embarrassed over life issues. This is things that happen in life. I'm not easy to be embarrassed only when I act a knucklehead or something like that. But these things that happen in life, we got to keep on pushing. You know, don't let them see your sweat, as they say. So, Diana.
Well, that the show is real.
The show is really real, really live. If anybody had any questions, I don't think they can record stuff like this with me doing this and you doing what you're doing, killing Craig like you did. Yeah. All right. Let me see. Professor, you there? All right. No, I see what I'm about to do is this. If I lose you, Diana, because I do something here, just call right back, okay? Hold on for a second. All right. Let's see here. And I'm going to.
We're back.
Okay, you're back and Diana's gone. So what I'm going to have to do is I'm going to try to double click this thing. I think that might work. So hold on, PCH.
Okay.
All right, let's see here. And Princess Diana can call back. And I forgot to write down her question. I'm sure Eric probably already texted to us. But let's do this. Let's go to Lamech and see if we can just start off with him. Boy, I'm almost afraid to do this. Hold on. Lamech, are you there? Hello? Yeah, this is going to be a problem today. I see with that.
Chances are we won't be able to pick up
lines. Correct. Yeah, what I'm
trying to figure out what's going on.
No, I got it. So what's happening, PC, is we're doing a technical thing here. Let me see if by me double-clicking you, if you're going to be able to hold on that side. Let me try this one more time. And bear with me, PC, this is not you at all. So you know that. So let me try this real fast click without losing you. And if I do, we'll call you right back. Yep, we lost him. All right, we're not going to be able to do this. So what I'm going to ask that the listeners do is.
Hello?
Yes, Lamech.
Hello?
Yes, how you doing, sir?
I am.
Yeah, what's going to happen? Well, Lamech, we having some technical problems. So what I'm going to have to do with all the callers today, the callers, is I'm going to have you call, give Eric your question. Eric would type in your question. And then we will answer your questions as we not have you live on the air, because we can't have you and the professor on simultaneously. It's just some technical issues we're having. And until we get it straightened out, I'm going to ask you to tell me your question now. And then I'm going to end your call, and you can listen to the answer off the air, okay? Or on the air while we're talking. All right? So give me your question.
Okay.
Give me your question.
Well, my question, don't worry about the last week. God already have something prepared for
okay.
for them.
You we know? Got you on that.
Don't worry about it.
What's the question this week?
Tonight my question is, why the believers and followers of Jesus Christ are killers and killing people? Why?
Why do people who claim Jesus actually kill people? And I want to make sure that you're saying what you're saying. You're not saying... you're saying like killing murder, right? You're not talking about killing in war or killing justifiably so. You're saying, why are believers killers? Is that what you're saying?
Yeah.
Okay.
When I mention killers, it's including all the people who kills at any way, and they are believers.
And they're claiming to be believers. I got you. Okay, so what I'm going to do is I'm going to have to take you off and bring the professor back and have him deal with that question, okay?
All right.
Thank you very much for your call.
Thank you.
All right.
Bye-bye.
PCH, welcome back.
Well, I'd have to know what he means by killers. I mean,
right.
You didn't define it enough for me. You're talking about the death penalty? Do you mean people who fight in any type of war?
That's what I was trying to bring out. But here's what I think he meant. But we can answer it maybe that way and also maybe any other ways we could think of. And I apologize about that. But I'm glad that you heard him. So what I can do is just I'll put you on hold so you can hear the question because you heard it while you were on hold. And then I'll go ahead and get rid of them and bring you on. So I apologize. So let's deal with let me do this. Let me have Lamech call back if you can hear. I'm going to go to Princess Diana, and then she's going to ask her question, and then I'll bring you back, PCH, okay?
Mm-hmm.
All right, hold on. This is going to be fun. I'm an adjuster, man. I'll referee. I have to adjust to every call. And here's my call right now, so hold on. All right. Princess Diana.
Yeah.
All right. He can hear your question, but once you ask your question, I'm going to take you off the air, then he's going to bring him back and let him answer it.
You're going to get rid of me. That's what
Well, you know, if you want to put it that softly, yes. I'm going to drop you like a hot potato.
All right. The professor has a cold.
There we go. What's your question, love?
Okay. My question is about two similar parables. The one in Luke about the talents is Luke 19:11-27.
Mm-hmm.
And then the one in Matthew 25:14-30, and that's about the pounds. And they're very similar, and basically there's always one guy in each one who doesn't do anything, and he thinks God is a terrible guy, and he gets thrown into outer darkness. So what I'm wondering is, what is represented by the money? What does the money represent in that parable?
Very good. Now, don't hang up. I just figured out something I can do. I'm going to put you on hold and just go back and forth. Okay, so hold on.
All right. Sounds good.
All righty. PCH?
All right.
Were you able to hear everything Diana said?
Yes.
Okay, I figured out how we could do this and hold them on until we get, you know, the clear answer, just a little bit extra work. I won't ask for a raise. Go right ahead, PCH.
Yeah, and parables, it's just like any analogy. Analogy only goes so far. In other words, analogies are analogies because they're not completely symmetrical. They're analogous. They are similar in either many or at least significant ways. And so there's kind of an admixture here, if I could put it that way. And what we don't want to say is, so see, you're saved by your good works. So if you don't do good works, you won't get into heaven. That's not what it's saying. But clearly what we can say from both of those passages that she mentioned, I would argue we can clearly say that anyone who produces no fruit is not saved. And they're not saved because they don't have enough works. They're saved because they don't have any works because they're not a believer. Faith alone, as both Calvin and Luther said, faith alone saves, but the faith that saves is never alone. So that's why they're cast into outer darkness, because they're not believers, because they've done nothing with the gospel. that's been given to them. So I would see it more as along those lines. So number one, the both accounts, they're cast into outer darkness, not that they lost their salvation. I would argue they never had their salvation, these individuals at least, because there's no fruit. And there's no such thing as a Christian who has no fruit. A Christian with no fruit is a non-Christian. Mm. 30, 60, 100-fold, but always produce fruit. The other ones are believers, and I would argue the talents are the abilities that God gave them, but in particular in light of the kingdom of God, the kingdom of heaven. This isn't just talking about your secular job, and I want to be careful because I believe secular jobs... Gerald, can you still hear me?
Yes, I can, Craig. I'm sorry. They were talking to me at the same time.
I'm getting talking in my ear. I apologize.
Oh, so you actually heard that talking, too. Okay, I got you.
Oh, okay.
Hey, we're learning stuff. This is going to be very innovative.
No, dear, I'm here to support you, brother. You're not just hearing voices in your head.
I didn't even assume that, Professor. Don't be trying to play my age. But go ahead right here with your answer.
What I want to say is, but even those who produce fruit and then they're rewarded, the reward is not salvation.
This is,
I'm going to argue, it assumes they are believers, that they produce good works, and then they're rewarded for that. And the rewards are based upon what we use. The things of this world are money, or finances, education, whatever, everything and anything is used for the advancement of the kingdom of God, and we're rewarded for that. But again, neither of these parables is saying the reward is salvation. It's not saying that, it's not saying that salvation is a reward. The person who's cast into outer darkness is because they're not a believer. They were given the gospel, and they've done nothing with it. In a sense, they've not embraced it. They've not trusted in Jesus Christ as their personal Lord and Savior. Therefore, they reap the consequences. And the believers are rewarded, and there are levels of rewards. And I say, I don't know what they are. It's no, hey, if God says there's rewards, well, I want to get some. I want to work for some of those. I don't necessarily know what they are, but anything God has is more than worthwhile, to say the least, especially if it's a reward. So what do you do with the gospel? So I've got to be honest. I'll be here one more weekend, then going back over to Asia, to India and Nepal, and investing in the kingdom of God, those who invest in their local fellowship, who help the church keep the lights on, if you will,
mm-hmm.
Not just financially, but who sing in the choir or
yes.
a music group or who serve in the parking lot. I mean, whatever the case may be, they're investing in the kingdom of God, and those are the people, I would argue, who were given more rewards. They were rewarded according to what they were given and what they did with it. So the playing field is even here. It's you're rewarded according to what God has given you, not what he's not given you. Whatever he's given you, we're to use that faithfully, as we're told in several places in Scripture. Moreover, the servant of the Lord must be found faithful. And that's what counts. So that's how I would understand these two parables that Diana mentioned.
Now, Diana, are you on there where you can hear? I try to bring you on. Are you there? No, she's not, so I'm going to put her back on hold. But I'll tell you what, Craig, before you finish that thought, I want you to tell me if I'm so far off that is not applicable to this parable that Diana was asking about. When I suggest to the people that when we do this broadcast, we're dedicating this time to the Lord, we're still working in the kingdom. This is all part of the body of Christ, even though it's not at a brick-and-mortar church, what have you. But when I even suggest to the people they're calling in, they're praying, and they're doing these various things. Okay, Diana, are you there?
Yes, I am.
Oh, wow, we're both on the same side, so I'm gonna have to do something before I leave. But let me finish that thought. PCH, am I so far off when I ask, like, people like Diana's calling in asking a question, and this is like, participating in the broadcast, participating in the kingdom of God by asking a question, getting a question answered, and then we all, as a team, is doing teamwork for the kingdom. Am I so far off with that?
Well, no, that'd be part of it, and I just want to be careful. I want to make it sound like, well, there's ministry and then there's secular work. Well, I would argue the sacred sector distinction is minimized in Scripture. It is all is sacred, all belongs to God.
Yeah.
So the person is faithful at their job and simply does it honestly to the glory of God and does it well. That's ministry. But excuse me, but it's also, that is definitely part of ministry, but so is, you know, if you frankly working traffic in the parking lot or teaching Sunday school, the third graders or what have you, all of that, those are the talents we've been given, whatever it is that we can do physically, emotionally, you know, physically, mentally, and that we do, those are the talents that we are investing back into God's kingdom. So it's kind of ironic is that he gives us the abilities that to use them for the advancement of the kingdom. He rewards us for what he gave us in the first place.
Yeah.
But the operative word is they've got to be appropriative. They've got to be used. It's not enough. You know, it's not enough to have the potential to be a great guitarist or a pianist or whatever. Mm-hmm. If you don't do it, if you don't practice, it's all for naught, right? It's actually taking the time, talents, treasures, the abilities that God gives us that we've had put into us through just genetically, through our parents and their natural abilities, DNA-wise and otherwise, through the hardships of life, the school of hard knocks, as my dad used to say, and through maybe formal education or formal training, we take all of that, we use it to the glory of God, and those are the things that he's going to reward us for when we do it with the right motives, the right thing, the right way. In other words, it's not... Many people are about building their own kingdom, or they just want to look good. Oh, if I do this, people will notice me. Mm. I'm a spiritual kind of guy. And they're really doing it for selfish ends, but when they do it for the glory of God, truly, when they do it the right way and in a manner that's honoring to God and with the right motives, the Lord rewards that. And again, I don't know what the rewards are, but I want to be in that line.
Indeed. Indeed. You're not sitting on your spiritual or you even the assets that the Lord has given us in various areas in this world, in this life. I mean, I remember going back to where he was talking about the synagogue or the temple back in the day where he had all the musicians and the ones that he gave special talent to on that end, like he was just talking about, you know, playing an instrument. God actually gifted people in those areas where he talked about it in the Word of God in the Old Testament. And I was always fascinated about that. I wish he gave me and Brian used to talk about this. We wish he gave us the gift of singing, but he probably didn't do it because we probably think we can go on tour or something like that.
Well, yeah. I mean, look, I like to use Bezalel as an example. This guy was
Diane, you're not laughing gifted. At that, are you? Go ahead.
The guy was incredibly gifted. Yeah, and he had all these abilities with metallurgy and with working of wood and fabric and all that. And then the Holy Spirit comes upon him for the building of the Ark of the Covenant, mm-hmm. of the Tabernacle.
Right.
And he does even better work. So you have this, I'll call it supercharging or this divine assistance from God. Yeah, some abilities are just flat out from God, period. And Daniel's ability to predict, to interpret dreams, to know them, that wasn't something he developed in college or at a trade school. That was a total flat out divine fiat gift from God.
Yeah.
And then Bezalel was already gifted, supercharged. But then people have giftings because they've gone through, again, the school of hard knocks. Through experiences, they've lived life and they've learned a lot of invaluable lessons they can share with the rest of us. And they've gone, you know, formal education or formal training, if you will. All those are gifts God gives us as believers, and we are to turn them back. We are to invest them in his kingdom, not because, oh, God needs us. If we don't invest in for his glory, then he's going to be upset and boo-hoo. It's for our good. It's for the advancement of the kingdom. And God awesomely rewards us for doing what's right, good, just, and true. Last point here. That'd be like somebody saying, I've got this great investment for you, but it takes $1 million to get in, to invest your money and get a 100-fold return guaranteed. You've got to have $1 million. And you go, that's great, but I don't have $1 million. I don't have $100,000. I don't have, you know, $10,000, $1,000, whatever, right? And God says, don't worry, I'll spot you the money, and I'll still give you the reward.
That's
I'll still give you the interest.
Wow.
And some of us go, oh, well, I don't know if I really want to do that. And you're like, hello, what are you thinking with? You got a rock for a head? You know, let's go.
Indeed. Diane, I know it's helpful to me. I hope that was helpful to you as well.
You know, it was very helpful. It just solved a lot of issues that I had with those two passages. And thank you so much, all of you guys, for sacrificing your time and being there for us, because we all count on it and we all learn.
We appreciate that, Donna. So if you don't mind, why don't you go ahead and hang up on yourself so I won't do anything to you. And I'm trying to get the guys to do it. And I appreciate your call. Okay, we lost them both there. So anyway, the Megan's gonna have to call back again. So PCH, look, we have some time until the other callers call in at 888-995-5552, 888-995-5552, or Facebook, email, tweet, Messenger, or Truth Social, all those formats, Bible Info Brokers, Bible Info Brokers. We're getting the callers a call back in. We just kind of hung up. You know, we're going to have some technical difficulties today, but we're going to keep PCH on so he don't feel like he can take an extra break tonight. I just want to make sure that's clear.
Yeah.
You know, I already talked to the union rep on all of our union reps today about our breaks. But anyway, PCH, let me just do this. Let me go right into Lamech is back. Let's see if we can bring him on, if he's ready. Let's see. I don't want to. I mean, I don't mind doing it. Let me see. You guys going to bring him on or I'll bring him on? Let me try to bring him on. One click. Yeah, good. It worked. I think I got you locked, PCH. Lamech, okay, you're on with the professor and I. Let's get back into your question about Christian believers that are killers. And so we can get clarity on what your question is.
Okay. The reason I'm calling this program because is my eyes. My eyes are seeing. When I receive the power of the Holy Spirit, my eyes are the windows of my soul. You know, before I cannot recognize all these kind of issues. But now I'm recognizing all, everything, especially the believers and the followers and women and men who preach in Jesus Christ are practicing killing of people. In the reality and in the spiritual way, physically in the spiritual way, you know? So what's going on? So that's my question specifically. Why they're doing this? Why?
PCH, were you able to get that? I could tell you what I think he's saying, but I think that you, did you get it, PCH?
Well, no. I mean, he's saying that. Allegedly showed him this, but I need examples. Are you talking the government putting people to death for murder? Are you talking a war where one country goes into another one and then another nation or more respond? Those I need specific examples. We're just still kind of generalities. Which one are we referring to?
Lamech, are you? Let me ask it this way, because this is what I heard him say, and you can correct me, Lamech, if I'm wrong, just to move this process along. I hear him saying that preachers, believers, are teaching things from the pulpit in the Word of God that are incorrect, and they're killing people. People are dying because of it. I don't know if it's, and I don't think it's just meaning dying physically, but dying spiritually. And that's what I think that the connection he's putting onto it. And if you are talking physically, Lamech, you need to make that abundantly clear.
Okay, I'm going to go clearly now.
Okay.
Okay. I'm discovering one guy who is follower of Jesus Christ, and he's specifically from one country who hurt my country. I am from Guatemala.
Mm-hmm.
And this guy is Vladimir Putin. Vladimir Putin is a follower and believer of Jesus Christ. And he is a killer. Here's just one example.
Okay, good.
And I can go for more.
I think we got it. And that's what we wanted to get you to get kind of isolate what you were talking about. So PCH, there you go.
I'm sorry, I still didn't hear it. I heard about the example from Guatemala.
Yeah, he said that Vladimir Putin claims to be a believer in Jesus Christ.
Of course. Well, there's all kinds of people who claim to be Christians. Right. This is kind of what Diana's question, Lamech, because there's all people who, I mean, I think the devil himself would claim to be a Christian, the true Christian, of course, he would say. Yet they do and practice things that are ungodly and wrong. And so you're rightly noting the hypocrisy and the problem with that. And that's why, like in 1 John, right, it says anybody who says they love God but they hate their brother. So if I say I love God but I hate certain groups of people or people, then the scripture says you're not a believer. You may claim to be. And, of course, I mean, generally murder comes from hatred. It's not the only motive, but it's often part of the most common is being angry or hateful or vengeful towards somebody. So, yeah, I mean, Putin, that's just, I mean, it's preposterous. But, again, I honestly do believe the devil thinks he's a true Christian, if we could put it that way. Yet when they do things like hate people and then what comes from hate, which is murder, right,
And then we know that they're not of God. Indeed, the passage goes on to say, we know no murderer is of God.
Right.
We think of Cain and killing his brother. So the Bible does make a distinction between murder and killing. Murder is always wrong. Killing sometimes is commanded by God. Romans 13, when it talks about the government official does not bear the sword in vain, that's an idiom for the death penalty. The sword would you use to decapitate people. But you're talking about clearly gross immorality about Putin and others and attacking various nations, Ukraine. We could fill in the blank of a whole host of countries, and I think of so much of the violence that's gone on in South America. Mm-hmm. And even in Sudan, you even have, now in Sudan, you have allegedly two Christian generals warring with each other. They're killing each other, and they both claim to be Christian. Well, minimally, one of them is not a believer, if in fact it may well be that neither of them are. So we share your concern about violence in Guatemala and other countries, Lamech, yes.
And Lamech, that's very helpful to me. I hope you got that, and I think I hear your passion, and your passion is warranted on that. But you can make sure of this, Lamech. The Bible talks about God will not be mocked. You will reap what you sow. So it's not going to fool the Lord. I mean, people could be professing all over the place, but like Professor just said, the bottom line is the judger, the only true judger towards condemnation is God, and he will make that final decision on all of us. There you have it. Appreciate your call, Lamech. Go ahead and hang up on yourself. We appreciate you calling in, brother.
Thank you.
God bless. Yeah, Triple A. I mean, I like this thing, Craig, where you can tell folks, just hang up on yourself, you know. That way we never do it. You know, it's almost like you don't want to hang up on folks, but, you know, we're not hanging up. The call is over. Triple A.
No, I hung up three times tonight, but yeah.
Say it again.
Never mind.
Oh, no. Man, you know, don't. I want all the jokes. You know that. I don't want to miss a joke ever.
Yeah, the hat trick.
Oh, there you go. There you go.
I hung up on three times tonight, so we're making up for everybody else.
Indeed, indeed.
You know, at this point, I'd like to, if I could, mention things. Cause things are coming up, and again, I'll be
Please.
Going back over to Asia. I'm here this weekend. I will be next weekend, and the following weekend, I should be back in Asia, going to India, Lord willing, if all works out. I got some passport issues. Oh, boy. and going to Nepal, and specifically for the TOT, the Training of Trainers, where we train Christian leaders. That includes people like teachers, principals, psychologists, others who are Christians who are serving in various types of ministries, if you will. Also pastors, of course, and missionaries, and literally some of them going to unreached people groups, for example, in northeastern Nepal. And so at any rate, we're going, not this week, but the following week we'll be leaving, and very, very excited about that. And I want to give people the opportunity, we talked about talents earlier, to invest in the kingdom
Indeed.
Of God. And
yes.
This is a faith-supported broadcast. If you believe in what we're doing, then we have overhead like the radio expense, which is very reasonable, but, you know, it's a bill we have to pay, the website, webmaster, web fees, and so on and so forth. If you could stand with us, that's just the BIB, the Bible Info Brokers General Fund, takes care of all those type of expenses. Some of you may say, I don't care, just use it where you think it needs to be used. Others of you may want to target specifically what you would like the funds to be used for. We have three main ways. That's one, the BIB, or the General Bible Information Brokers General Fund. We also have the Faithful Friend Fund, where we are attempting monthly to pay the insurance, the health insurance of the widow of our dear brother Brian Allen, who went on to be at the Lord last September. Mm. And so that's another way you can give. And then the TOT, and really it's as if, even if you can't give financially, but by your prayers, it's as if you're going with us. I just got back, you know, last Sunday night, just before the broadcast, and I did really well as far as not getting sick, food poisoning, what have you, dysentery, all that. And I attribute that, I really do, to the prayers of the saints, of people praying in safety. I mean, we saw some fatalities, I mean, all kinds of horrible stuff, but the faithfulness of God in protecting us and watching over us. And so we're asking for the same thing. We covet your prayers. And if you're able financially, whatever you're able to do, whether it's the Faithful Friend Fund or just the general fund, the VIB fund, or for the TOT, the Training of Trainers. I was really jazzed just yesterday. I was on WhatsApp, communicating with one of the brothers, works in tandem with another brother, and they're sending other brothers to training in India. Why? Because we're paying their way. Mm. We're paying their lodging, their room and board, and of course the training is free. Excuse me, and we're training them to further equip them. These are guys who are already in the mission field. These are pastors and other Christian leaders already out there doing that, speak the languages, have access to these regions that I don't. And we're just so excited about this. Every time the closer we get, the more excited I am at communicating that the training, and specifically the training will be going on June 25th. Through about the 30th, that's in India, and then we're going to fly and switch gears and go into Nepal and meet with a bunch of brothers, pastors, Christian leaders, missionaries who couldn't make it down to India who had prior commitments. And we train them, we buy Bibles, we support them financially, we equip them with materials, various ways. When I say we, but I mean literally, not hype, no hyperbole, we, that is us, you and me, we are doing that together. Those of you, if you contribute $1, $5, or those of you who say, I can't do any of that, I can pray. Well, then you're a vital part of the team, literally, no hype. You're a vital part of the team. We need your prayers that we don't get in trouble with the authorities. Yeah. It's a 5-year jail sentence automatic for sharing the gospel. So proselytizing, I quote. So praying, keeping us out of trouble with the authorities, that we stay healthy. Because if you get sick for a couple of days, it really just takes that person out of the ministry during that time. So praying for our health and well-being, safety. We don't even get in trouble with the authorities for doing what we're doing. And God's hand will be upon it and accomplish what he wants. And that is to equip, and encourage these missionaries and other leaders who are doing a phenomenal job. Many of them literally are risking their lives to do what they do. A number of them, perhaps I'll have them on the radio sometime, have already spent time in jail, 4 years, for example, and so on and so forth. And you're a vital part of the ministry of the TOT training, again, leaving the end of next week. You can be a part of that prayerfully and financially, and the ministry in general, and Daryl's going to tell you how you can do just that.
PCH, thanks for the opportunity. Folks, here it is. If you want to go online, please do so. Take advantage of online giving. There's a fee associated with it. I'm going to talk about a way you can deal. Make sure that 100% of the money goes into the ministry. 100% of the money goes out for the designation that you give or the generalization that you give us as far as your support. If you go online to our Bible Info Brokers website, Bible Info Brokers, click that icon that says support and donate. I'm actually on there right now. One paragraph in a sentence. You can see the simple instructions and give accordingly. We really, really, really appreciate those that are in a position to give that way. And there's a small fee associated. We've even got that reduced so more money can go to the broadcast. And I have come up with a couple of other ways, or at least I'll mention to you, on how when you give and you designate, or if you just do it generally, you can write out a check yourself or have your bank write it out and save on the stamps and all that thing like that by either talking to your bank online through that online process, or calling your bank and just set up a situation where it's a recurring payment if you want to do it like that, or recurring monies go from your account directly to our P.O. box. They mail it for you and everything. I do that for other ministries as well. And that way, when you do that, we get 100% of the money because the check is deposited and all that type of stuff. Here's what you need to do, though, more specifically. If you write a check or you write an envelope out yourself or have it filled out by somebody else, your bank, it must be to Living by the Word, LBTW, or Living by the Word, either one, and then mail it to P.O. Box 90477. That's P.O. Box 90477 in Los Angeles, 90009. So once again, if you're going to mail anything out and or have it mailed to save those fees, then you can simply write everything out to LBTW, or Living by the Word, P.O. Box 90477 in Los Angeles, 90009. My excitement is that you can Zelle your money. Those that know what Zelle is, you can Zelle the money over to us, and you can use the same email address that's on our website website, which is livebyword@aol.com. That's livebyword@aol.com. Everything is set up to go automatically to there, And by selling it, it also saves those fees right now until they catch up with us and change the policy. So take advantage of those ways of giving. We really appreciate you doing that in advance. And while you're on our website, please take advantage of the information about our virtual Bible study and contact Brother Sal and join it there and figure out if you can, you know, work out and join that Bible study on there. It's right on our front page. And the Zelle information I'm going to have up next week for you, or as soon as I can get it done, whereby you can have all the information about the giving with the Zelle. But please navigate through our website, check out the resources we have to offer, and we're trying to build these things up as we go. That's we definitely dearly miss Brother Brian, because he was very good at doing all this stuff, and I'm learning to be as good as he was, I guess. So thank you very much in advance for your giving. PCH, here's what we're going to do. I'm going to give the number out again for people to call in, because Eric does have some open lines at 888-995-5552. 888-995-5552. We're just talking about participation. We're talking about talents. We're talking about involvement in the ministry. Here's a great way to take advantage of the time that we have, the limited time that we have every Sunday, to call in as you're praying. If you don't call in, still continue to pray, not only now, but as we do various other ministerial duties. But call in and participate with your question. If you have a question, and you should have one, if you're definitely learning and reading from the Word of God, you got 1,000 questions. 888-995-5552. 888-995-5552 is the number. Call right now. Eric, have those open lines. Every other format, every other situation where you can send your question in, like Messenger. We have a question from there with Reverend Phil and the one I'm going to read. Facebook, email at .com, website I just gave, Truth Social, or even tweeting us questions. We're getting all those formats you can use right now, and it's the same address, Bible Info Brokers. Bible Info Brokers for tweet, Messenger, Facebook, Truth Social, or .com website for emails. Whew. Mouthful, PCH. Let's get back to the callers and the questions. Matter of fact, Ted, hold on there. No, I want to go to Ted's question now. We'll do Reverend Phil's question about Jehovah's Witness right after Ted's question. I'm going to bring Ted up and hope I don't lose Professor. I don't think I will. Boom. Ted, City of Angels. Thanks for calling in, brother.
Yes, sir. Definitely Ted, City of the Angels, born and raised.
Gotcha.
Gentlemen, this is the topic that's bothering me is you have well-known ministers, and one that I heard, and we don't need to mention any names because it could be many of us. But you know, we're all looking for common ground. We all want to mesh together, all colors of the human race. And you have ministers that are digging, like, and please correct me if I'm wrong, but nowhere in the Bible was Queen Sheba called a black person. It was all based on region. It was all based on Judea or different regions. And the reason why the judgment happened is because the man married out of his faith, which the Jews didn't want to intermix. And I find it very offensive to bring in color. And then the same people that are bringing up this topic are putting down football. When basically, you know, the NFL gives, you know, your brother will be found when you find common ground. And really the only common ground people have on Sunday now is something to be able to relate through sports. And, you know, I played, you know, multi-mixed football teams at Venice, and we found common ground. And so, you know, what more of a better playing field than to talk about Jesus is at a football game and actually have some common ground that, hey, you know what? I like O.J. Simpson. I grew up with him. I loved him. And I forgive whatever happened on both sides. That's not me to judge. And I had heroes, and it didn't. I don't care what color they were. But thank God I had football that gave us that common ground.
Gotcha.
That I could love somebody. And that's my whole point, and that's so if he could answer, you know, am I wrong that the Bible does not clarify her as being black? And is it wrong to call it racism even way back then? Because it just seems to me that everybody's turned it into Mr. and Mrs. Axe to Grind, and we're never going to heal.
Well, let me address Taylor, allow me to address it on this on two levels before I turn it over to the professor. Number one is okay. The one level, whatever preacher or whoever is doing it to deal with the professional athletes, they're low-hanging fruit, as I call them, because they're out there. All their stuff is – their life is played out on the social media and on the news and all that stuff. And that's what people are making money, and that's their thing. Now, don't get me wrong. I'm in that media. I'm actually going to be doing changing my golf ministry to a sports ambassador. People are calling them go with double ambassador, but it's going to be ambassador for Christ and ambassador for sports. And the reason why I'm saying that is because I'm going to be coming out with this thing. I might as well give myself a cheap plug right now called Talking for Pros. So the pros you talk about, I'm going to have a PB for that, and it's going to be Talking for Pros, which means talking policies, politics, and religion of sports. Now, if anybody want to try to take that and do it before me, by all means, I can always change it to something else. But that's what it's going to be about, because even though some people don't want to hear politics and all those things go on, politics, policies, and religion of sports are very serious, because people all now come together because of that. Now, you're talking about football. That's going to be near and dear to Craig's heart, obviously, for he'll tell you the reasons. But that's one of the things. I just think it's low-hanging fruit. But as long as a minister or whoever it is, if you want to demonize somebody, you make sure you're keeping it in the proper context of what the scriptures actually say. So if the Bible is not emphasizing the race or the ethnicity, not the race, but because only one human race, but the ethnicity, anything, if the Bible is not making that, but they want to make an application, then you need to pull that person aside and find out what is their purpose and meaning for making an application of ethnicity when it may not be contextually there. You see what I'm saying? So it's not the proper context in that particular verse or pericope of scripture, but yet they want to bring up this ethnic application. I don't know. It'd be an individual basis for me. PCH, what say you?
Well, I'm trying to understand. I was having trouble hearing Ted. I heard the part about football and appreciate what you said. But the part, do you feel that they're wrong because they're saying that the Queen of Sheba was black and we don't know, or that they were denying that she was black and they have a problem with it? I didn't understand which side of the horn of that dilemma you were taking, Ted, or they were saying.
Well, basically the minister was saying racism has been going on forever, and Queen Sheba was black, and there was racism against I'm not sure who was the man that married her that was Jewish. Can you refresh my memory? It's really irrelevant, but the bottom line is she married into by a Jewish man, and then he was saying that she was judged because she was black, and where can somebody tell me where it calls her black, Queen Sheba? It was based on region. The man married out of his Judaic belief, and that's where the judgment was. And I don't believe it had anything to do with color. And he's using his form to perpetuate and constantly bring up the past and bring this racism stuff that we need to. In other words, if you're a minister, we're supposed to teach to forgive. Are we gonna talk about slavery for the rest of our lives? I have a chiropractor who treats Kareem Abdul-Jabbar, who's from Dubai, who was from royalty when he was a child, and he came to America. He's a famous chiropractor. He fixed my back. And the man said that when he was a child, they had white slaves in Dubai that he never tied his shoes. And the slaves were not treated badly. They were just never given money. So slavery has been going on forever. And it has nothing to do with any particular color. And we know what's going on today. So when are we going to bury the hatchet? When are we going to forgive each other like we're supposed to be as ministers and stop perpetuating and re-peeling the scab back open over and over and over again? When are we going to move forward? I love football. Jesus can be found on that field. I've been on the field. And I was an altar boy. I did it for 12 years. I was blessed to play with South Central Blacks, the only white on defense at Santa Monica College. I cherished that. I was able to play with them and as a white guy, and I loved it. I'll never, never regret any of that. So You know,
right, just, we got you. Ted, what you're saying is so true. But PCH, you kind of know where he's going. I'm just reflecting on my high school game, how we had the one white guy on my team, and I love him to this day. But everybody should have one. That's just a joke we used to have. But go ahead, PCH.
Well, sure. And now, I'm going to defend everybody, my answer. I'm not going to make anybody happy, probably, so that's okay. It won't be the first time.
There you go.
So it is debatable, but based upon the region where she came from, she probably was black, okay? But even probably the clear example would be the wife that Moses married, the Cushite, in Numbers 12. That region is black. I mean, predominant, far and away. So the odds are that Moses' second wife was black, and Miriam made a stink about it, and God judged her with leprosy. There's the ultimate irony. He gave, you want to be white? I'll give you white. So that was leprosy. So I want to say this, because from my travels in Asia and other parts of the world, I've seen racism, and I'm not trying to justify it in America. This is not so. America's okay. But, man, racism is everywhere. Tribalism is everywhere. The caste system. People always have an excuse for being prejudiced and discriminatingly, unethically against others. I mean, when I go to India, it's so prevalent. And again, in Cambodia, the Vietnamese, you know, are despised by the Cambodians. And the list goes on and on. And I know what you're talking about in Dubai and areas like that in the Middle East, because a lot of the workers are from places like Nepal. They're Nepalese, and they're treated like dirt. And others are, and they accept it because of their Hinduistic belief in karma, and it's their karma, and so they are treated as indentured servants or otherwise. In even a place as nice as Singapore or Malaysia, they have domestic servitude where they will bring gals in, and then they will confiscate their passport, and then they're stuck there, and they really are basically enslaved. I mean, this stuff goes on and on and on, and I'm not trying to justify it. I'm not trying to say, so therefore America's not that bad. It's because it's a manifestation of sin. No kidding. And sin exists, and one of its manifestations is hatred, is bigotry, is racism, what have you. But I hate to burst people's bubble, but the reality was, not that there wasn't whites trading people, black people. That's definitely true, unfortunately. But many of the black nations themselves were trading their own people. In fact, they basically told Britain to buzz off when Britain said, we're not going to be involved in this anymore. Modern-day Senegal and Benin have come out with public retractions of what they did, that they sold their own people into slavery without somebody twisting their arm. They did that, and they defended it. They defended it because they said, it's our people, can do what we want. There are plenty of books and documentation that blacks have been involved in the slave trade as well. And some people are going to protest, oh, that's not true. That's just a white guy going off. No, it's reality. Go look it up. Go read it. Look at whites have sold whites. Whites have sold blacks. Blacks have sold whites. You name it. In the Middle East, there was during the Middle Ages, a massive slave trading, particularly of white people, particularly of Christians who were conquered by Muslims. And people could deny this all they want. And just like I'd say, look, the Christians have to own those boneheaded, ungodly people who were involved in slavery. Well, others have to own it as well outside of Christianity. So this has been a fact, not to be accepted, of society. Throughout the world, universally, slavery has been practiced. And even today, when it's not full-on slavery, and it often is, so let me just give you one example. This is through almost much of, if not most of Asia, there's the brick kiln industry. And most of that is run by indentured slaves. That is, their parents got into something happened, they needed to go to the doctor or the hospital. They took out a loan with some loan shark. And due to the compounding interest of these exorbitant rates, they basically became enslaved to these people, and so did their children. And so many of the ministries I deal with actually are trying to help children who were basically are slaves in the brick kiln industry. I mean, and besides sexual slavery and sexual trafficking, and the people off the coast of Thailand with
coming to a hard break, brother. So let's do this. Let me interrupt you right there, because I want to finish this conversation with Ted. We're going to put Ted on hold and come back at the other side of the break and finish this up and get with more of the Bible Information Broker. Mm-hmm. Ladies and gentlemen, welcome back. Welcome back to Living by the Word Ministries, presentation of the Bible Information Brokers. Again, with Daryl Easy D. Fulton, myself, we got Eric receiving your phone calls, and PCH, Professor Craig Hawkins, with us here telephonically. And we have a little technical issues. I'm glad you guys are hanging there with us. So if you're inclined, please participate in the broadcast by calling in if you have a question at 888-995-5552. 888-995-5552. All the other formats have the same address, which is Bible Info Brokers for Facebook, email, tweet, messenger, or Truth Social. So Bible Info Brokers is the address for those various formats. Now I can hear myself a little bit better. I hope you were able to hear me. I'm hearing myself a little bit better now. So we're going to get back into the question from Ted about ministers demonizing pro athletes and that whole conversation. And it's not because we all enjoy sports, all of us, but it's, I think it's a very serious issue in regards to, and one word that we've thrown around today, and it's been thrown around all throughout the media, is racism. And I don't know if we keep using the word racism, which I don't think racism can exist because we're all one race, but maybe it's too hard to say ethnicism. I mean, even as I was trying to say it right now, it may be a little bit too difficult, but we understand what we mean. And it's unfortunate that we don't understand, like we said in the beginning of our show, PCH, that we are indeed one race.
Just say a couple things here on this. So I appreciate Ted's comments about football. And it is, it does make me crack up that the people who dress the nicest are sports commentators. Pastors feel free to wear flip-flops and whatever shirts and holy jeans and all that. Literally holy, not holy in the sense of sanctified. And just the people who wear suit and tie. These are sports announcers. Go figure. So I appreciate what Ted said there, and I really don't have much to add there. I would say that I can appreciate some people bringing up racism, because if we don't learn from the past, and there's arguments that we don't, as George Santayana said, is if we learn one thing from history, it's that we learn nothing from history. I think that it's okay to bring it up, but if you're going to beat any drum all the time. But what I want to address is the idea that only people who are white or have whiteness can or are racist. I have found racism and discrimination wherever I've gone in the world, just big time, even among Christians. The Mete hate the Paite hate the Mete, the Kuki, the list goes on and on and on and on. And this idea that it's only certain people, no. Racism, however definitely one uses, exists in the sense of because people are sinners. And I'm not justifying it, but racism will not be eradicated by wokeness or any of that stuff, certainly anything that Abraham Kendi's offering or what have you. I've read all that stuff. I teach this stuff. I've been teaching this for years. I studied under a Marxist, working on my PhD in philosophy and philosophy of religion. The guy was cramming this down my throat for 20-odd years. So I've heard this is not my first rodeo. I've heard this stuff over and over and over again. I teach jurisprudence and so studied the views from Delgado and others who deal with what's called critical race theory and even critical legal studies. But to me, the naivete is that somehow some secular program is going to eradicate racism. Not going to happen. I think the church should own it. I believe racism does exist, number one. Number two, it exists in the church. And three, it's unacceptable. But the idea that only certain groups are racist and others are not, that is so naive.
There you go.
Serious. And two more points here, Daryl.
Go ahead.
And then the other thing is that it's only certain groups. That, no, it's across the board. And I think I'll never forget, I was reading, when I was doing research on this years ago, before this ever even came out into the public debate it is today, I was reading some articles about blacks being involved, especially nations like Benin and Senegal and others that I mentioned earlier. And I was reading one individual, and he just said, "No, I can't believe this. A black brother would never do this to a black brother. This just can't be true." And I thought, oh my goodness, there's no evidence that's going to convince you. You just know it wouldn't happen. You know what? White people kill white people. White people abuse white people. Black people abuse black people and vice versa. It goes on. But what reminds me of this the most is Angela Davis. A lot of you probably remember her, right? Involved in the Weather Underground, was involved in terrorism at the time. It's pretty safe to say, or radical activism, but bombing things is kind of terrorism, in my opinion. At any rate, they did this genetic study, and they found out her father and her family related were sold slaves.
Exactly. I saw that, Craig, the other day on the TV.
And she was devastated.
Yes.
Because, and to her credit, I believe she meant well. I believe she means well. Right. I don't agree with her. But she was just, like, devastated because, like, how could it be? And it's like, yes, even your own family. I hate to tell you this, sister. Black people have done racism and sold and owned slaves, too. And I'm not trying to justify anybody
doing this.
But what I'm tired of hearing is only one group has done this. Historically, in the world today, it's said, and people get these numbers like 40.3 billion. We don't know a million. We don't know exact numbers. But what we do know that slavery maybe is more practiced today than ever before, or at least there are more people in slavery, I should say, for example, in Sudan and other places, than ever before. And so this is a problem that the church, black, white, yellow, rainbow, whatever color you are, identify with, need to own this and need to deal with this as a body. And we need to truly, to use an oversung phrase, we need to come together truly in Christ. And by the way, Abraham Kendi and his liberation theology believes that the gospel actually is the source of much, if not most, or all of racism. The two big bad sins are capitalism and Christianity, and the answer is rejecting the Jesus of Christianity. No, it's not, Kendi. It's rejecting your false notions of this. Again, I'm not justifying discrimination, and I'm not doubting that it goes on, but the idea that Christianity is the source of the fount of this stuff is sheer raving nonsense.
Well, Ted, I really appreciate your phone call. I'm going to make a final comment. But,
thank
Ted, go ahead and hang up on yourself. I appreciate you, brother. God bless you, man.
Love you.
PCAs, I'm going to make this comment because you can't see what I'm wearing. I'm actually wearing a hat. If you're on Facebook, you can see it. I'm going to try to face the cameras. You can see it on Facebook if you're looking at us by video. I'm wearing a hat, a live hat, with a PGA little sticker, not a sticker, but a little safe, a pin that they give you for like you put on your ties, a little pin. And also with my Fulton 54 on, I got a bunch of lanyards on, credentials where I went all over the world to find out about the golf game, where it has Live, it has the PGA, the women, the SAS, and all that stuff, the pro tours I've been on. And I've been wearing this for the longest since the PGA and the Live came out as fractions against each other, Craig. And now you hear the big news that they merged, right? And so I've been wearing this stuff all the time and saying it's always has been about the money. When you're gonna throw, when you're gonna look at the log, the speck in a brother's eye as another human being, and forget about the log cabin you have in your own eye, when I put my patent in, Craig, I think I told you this, for that perfect score in golf, and I still pending, so keep that in your prayers. I didn't know. I came in as naive as you were just speaking how naive people can be. I came in naive, Craig, not knowing about the sordid history of the PGA Tour and the PGA of America, whereby 1934 to 1961, they changed their bylaws to be Caucasian only. So all that 27 years, nobody of color could play on that professional tour unless they were invited. But it was Caucasian-only rule that they changed, and they finally got rid of it in 61. So I don't want to hear about it. That's why it's not a surprise to me that everybody's merging now, because those dollars walk and all the other stuff. I mean, the dollars talk and all the other stuff walks, and that's what's happening right now. And I want to segue from there, Craig, into the idea that Eric told me today that he saw some bumper sticker when he was driving. And the bumper sticker said this: I am a monster, but at least I'm not a Christian. I want you to address that from the standpoint of the gospel message, Craig, and why that asinine, if I can use that expression, which I just did, sticker.
Well, sure, Daryl. And that, but also even the issue of racism. Again, I'm not denying it exists.
Right.
It's not just one group of people or one ethnicity or what have you. It's everybody.
Every single person.
Overall, at least every people group. I'm not going to argue every person.
No, group, yeah.
But certainly from every group, there are people who are racist towards others. I mean, I just got back from Cambodia, where trafficking in little girls as young as 5 years old still goes on. There's horrific things. The last time I checked, that's not really white people running that. But the point is, it's an incredible wickedness and heinousness, I should say. Now, my point is, look, racism exists, it should not, but it's not going to be eradicated other than the gospel of Jesus Christ, through a true belief in Jesus Christ. And I think I'm just talking about some white Jesus. Jesus was Middle Eastern, so he probably had olive skin, dark color hair, dark eyes, what have you. That's reality. It's Praise God. So what? It's irrelevant, the color of his skin or what have you. It's his teaching. It's who he was, not his ethnicity or his color of his skin, if you will. It is acknowledging that we're all sinners. We're all messed up. This world is messed up. We need police departments, and even the police mess up at times, although there's incredibly good ones as well who get abused because of the bad apples. But we need police departments because people hurt each other, do horrible things to each other. That's the reality. And they do that because they're sinners. We sin because we're sinners. That's our nature. And the answer is Jesus Christ, the gospel, not churchianity, not playing church, not some social club, what have you, fashion show, the gospel of Jesus Christ, trusting in him and him alone for salvation. And so, yeah, the person who says, I may be a monster, but at least I'm not a Christian. You know, are there people who claim to be Christians who are hypocrites? Well, are there Christians who are hypocrites? Yes. But that does not refute the gospel. That does not refute Jesus. The gospel stands or falls upon Jesus Christ. Yeah, unfortunately, many of us, his people, are horrible representatives of him. But if you look at Christ, he could say, which of you convicts me of sin? In other words, what are my faults? What are my hypocrisies? Look at Christ. He is Christianity. He is the standard. And that's what Christianity is all about. And the church does well, does best. Indeed, is only really preaching the gospel when we point to him and when need for him as our personal Lord and Savior. And I'm going to argue that the breakdown of America, that incredible number of shootings, it's not just guns, it's people who are berserk, who have no morals, no foundations, who are taught they're animals, that we're nothing but the product of blind chance, and therefore we can do whatever we want. Life's like a video game. You can shoot people until somebody shoots you. This hell we've created upon earth and is coming about more and more and more, I'm going to argue, is because of the rejection of Christianity. And again, I don't mean churchianity, and I don't mean some political cause per se, but what is right and good and just and true. And so you will be a monster outside of Jesus Christ, because the only ultimate form of morality, the only basis for it, I'm going to argue, is Jesus Christ and belief in him and knowing that people were made in the image of God. Therefore, I can't be just a utilitarian and use people. People have value inherently, not for what they do, but for who they are, human beings. Whatever their skin color, whatever their ethnicity, whatever their physical abilities or lack thereof, people are made in the image of God, and we should treat them as such. And here's the reality, my friend. You can point to all the hypocrites, and I'll even help you out. We can tu quoque. You can accuse me of stuff. You can do, you know, those various types of arguments, circumstantial ad hominems, what have you. But the truth is, truth stands or falls upon Jesus Christ. You're either going to trust him as your Lord and Savior or not, and you will reap the consequences. And that's not an appeal to fear. That's an appeal to reality. Like when the doctor says, Hawkins, you're overweight, your blood pressure's too high, you need to get this down, man, or else. And he's not trying to scare me to sell me more blood pressure medicines. That's reality. And so it is reality to you, my friend, as you are a sinner. You are imperfect, is what that means. You need to trust in Jesus Christ as your personal Lord and Savior. Because here's the ultimate reality check. Not because I say it, because God says it. You're going to meet God, not if, but when. Someday, when you die, you're going to meet God, and you're either going to meet him as your Savior and being forgiven by him, then Jesus Christ being your advocate, the Greek word used for an attorney or a lawyer, or you're going to meet God as your judge. My friend, choose you this day whom you will serve, because you are going to reap one of those consequences. That's just cold, stone, hard reality. Like it or not, you're going to meet God. Are you going to meet him as your Savior, or are you going to meet him as your judge? And trust me, you don't want the latter. Right now is the day. Today is the day of salvation, to ask for forgiveness, to ask for deliverance, to ask forgiveness of your sins, and to trust Christ as your Lord and Savior.
Amen.
The
amen.
The ball's in your court, my friend.
Indeed. Indeed, folks. The ball has been tossed up, and it's tipped to you. And you got to make a decision. I really appreciate that analogy, PCH. I'm going to make one more quick comment on the subject matter we were talking about with people who are enslaving each other and things like that. I never forget about the 88, 89, when I was in Middle East with the Trotters. And I just happened to talk to one of my guys who was a showman out there when I was out there. I'm going to say his name, Sweet Lou, give him a little shout out. And he'd been with the Trotters. college for over 45 years. Now he's doing a coach and a whole lot of other things. And they even got a show on TV on Saturdays called Playing Forward. So I'm giving them a plug for free. And I may hit them up later for something. But I'm saying that to say this, PCH. When we were in the Middle East, and the months that we were out there, we were told a lot of things that was going on there, blah, 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 this. But we still, you know, performed because we was under contract to do what we had to do. But I talked to the people who were the so-called modern-day slaves out there. They were mostly Filipino at the time. And every single person I talked to out there told me, yes, we are, like, considered slaves, and, you know, we blah, blah, this, blah, blah, that. But they all, to almost a person, told me, it is much better for us here financially and all that stuff to deal with the hardship they have to deal with as far as being not really citizens and things like that than it is back home. And that's what people have to somewhat understand, that even though every ethnicity has enslaved folks, every ethnicity have participated in slavery or indentured servitude in some way, form, or fashion, nobody is not guilty. Nobody is innocent, let me put it that way, of those atrocities. Not everybody, but no group, as you said, and I appreciate it the way we said it. So there you have it. 888-995-5552 is the number. 888-995-5552. Call Eric right now. You have some wide open lines. Give him a call. Get him busy. We have about another 35, 40 minutes left on this broadcast. So let's get those calls in. Matter of fact, here's a question that we have from Husue from True Social, Craig. So, you know, the little formats are working for us. And he asked a question. Actually, he sent it in last week and we missed it, or I missed it. And it says, will things get worse for Christians on Pride Month, which is now June, at work, when they refuse to celebrate the LGBTQ plus community?
You know it's going to happen. We just heard, well, they just want a place at the table. You have a place at the table, and they want us to set the rules, and we've got to embrace it. Look, I have a right to respectfully disagree, not to espouse hatred. Of course, they'd say, well, the fact you agree with this is hatred. And I don't buy that garbage. That's nonsense. I disagree. And even, I think of the one transsexual who shot those kids and down, you know, down south. And then, like, oh, the truly persecuted people, the transsexuals. Well, that's funny. Who took the gun out on the little kids? So I'm not saying they're all doing that. That I want to be careful, because that's caricaturing.
Correct.
And stereotyping. There are nut jobs in every group. There are so-called Christian identity nut jobs, right, who try to use the gospel for racism and whatnot. But in any given group, there are the avant-garde and who do things that, well, I would argue are not socially unacceptable, are wrong. But, yeah, I mean, clearly the government is becoming more and more hostile. The society is. If you don't agree, they demand conformity. The state religion, the federal religion in the United States is, you can do anything you want. Well, in the Netherlands, they're allowed to have sex with animals now. They have been doing this for a while. Eventually, it'll be here in America, too. You say, oh, that's extreme. Yeah, it is extreme, and it's going on. It's not. I'm not hyping out. Look it up. The government in the Netherlands regulates this to make sure that there's hygiene practices and whatnot, sex with animals. I mean, we're moving to a society where, look at California, the bill now that if a couple's getting divorced and one of the parents doesn't agree in so-called letting the child choose their gender at 8, 9, 10 years old, that they can't have custody of the kid. There's a prime example of this. In Canada, you can be arrested simply for disagreeing, not yelling hatred or slurs. And again, I have to qualify my grammar because my words, because people will say, well, any disagreement is hatred. And that's that type of nincompoopishness. You know, I teach debate, logic, and argumentation, and that type of loaded language and what's called poisoning the well, those type of fallacious arguments. No, give me a good argument. Look, rightly so, we weren't willing to let kids have aspirins under 18 without parental permission. They couldn't get their ears pierced. And now you want to let them make decisions at 7, 8, 9, 10 years old regarding their alleged gender or sex, using those terms, whichever way you choose, and thinking that they know what they're doing. I think Angelina Jolie has at least one daughter who thought she was a boy and was dressing that way and was going that way, and now she proudly proclaims herself as female and is proud of it. I use the word pride on purpose. But what if she had been allowed to do, have surgery or to take a hormone blocking, drugs,
what have you. Some of that stuff, not just the surgery, some of that stuff is irreversible. When people get older, here's my motto. You get older, you're 24, 5, whatever, or you have some more maturity, whatever, knock yourself out. I'm not here to tell you what you can or can't do. But when you want to let little kids do this stuff and you're demanding that others let them do that, there's a problem. And there's a number of websites about people who were some of the worst first, excuse me, worst, there's a Freudian slip, were some of the first to go through this. And sexchangeregret.org or .com and others, people who lived this. I think of the gal, Chloe Cole, who had this happen. I believe we're going to see a whole generation of angry youth who were allowed to do this, were encouraged to do this. Because somebody's making money doing these surgeries and prescribing these drugs. And, oh, sure, you're 10 years old and you're confused and you think you're a male or a female or whatever. Do whatever you want. Again, if they were adults and much older, it's their decision. But you're letting kids make these decisions? I mean, Daryl, you know, for your law enforcement background and my teaching in the law school, why do we treat people under 18 as minors? Why is it that they're not, all things equal, treated or tried as adults? Because they lack the emotional, mental maturity to make certain decisions, and we understand that, all things equal, and we treat them as minors, not as adults. Now, you're telling me we do that when it comes to even things like murder, kidnapping, and other felonies, yet they're more than sufficient to make these radical changes about reassigning their gender or what have you at 7, 8, 9, 10 years old, and you're a bigot if you don't agree with that.
You know, PCH, what you're saying, just so ironic, good segue into a conversation I have with one of my granddaughters who, on her 18th birthday the other day, I called her and we talked at a conversation set up for when she was a child. I said, because after this day, I know it's 18 years old, and you had mentioned like making decisions, and you said in the 20s. Now, even though the adult legal age in California is 18 and you're legally responsible for yourself, it's interesting that they still allow the parents, I guess maybe it's a benefit to have children on your health care and all that stuff all the way up to 26. So I'm asking you specifically, PCH, in the sense of an argument from both sides of the child's argument now turning into an adult but don't want to have all the adult responsibilities. Like I was telling my granddaughter, you're going to be responsible for yourself. She understands that. And so now I'm going to talk to you as an adult. But yet we're going to have some conversations that are going to seem like, you know, was when you was a child just the other day. And I'm saying this, that what is the argument from the standpoint of logic or whatever you want to use, Craig, where we have the adult age at 18, but yet they have other things that we hold the kid not responsible for until they, for example, 26 and various things. What is that whole argument, and what should be the argument for the kids and for our society, especially in America here where we spoil the death? What should be that argument, or what is the argument to raise the adulthood level up higher or lower it because of all the so-called stuff they're exposed to?
I would argue should be the case. But the part of it is we have to have some age, and it'll be artificial because some people will be really mature and much younger.
Yep, yep.
There are some people who are adults at 15, 16 years old.
Indeed.
But for the majority, they're not. If you have young male boys, you know what I'm talking about. We definitely want to raise the age for young males. But seriously, though, Daryl, so you know, my understanding is latest studies show that the brain doesn't really stop developing on an average of 25, 26 years old.
Yeah.
I'm going to use the example with pot and the egregious things that are going on with that. But again, money comes into play. Oh, we can get money. We can tax it. Hey, it's got to be good if we can make money off of it and keep it legal. So at any rate, yeah, I mean, we know that there's all these issues of development, and it's artificial. So 18, officially an adult. But look, you know, 21 to buy a handgun, and many of us would say that or older, and 21 to buy alcohol. So you have to be 21 to buy alcohol, but you can be 10 years old and have gender reassignment or be allowed to, because you feel, look, the kid may feel all kinds of things. What did I feel at 10 years old? Man, thank God nobody held me to that. I mean, it's ludicrous. But I think of pot as an example. There are many scientific studies, not some fear mongers, hypes, or some of these weird movies they made in the 60s or 70s about pot and that. But the reality is there are plenty of scientific peer-reviewed studies that show the danger of pot, and particularly for those who are abusive, or regular users, you know, three, four, five, six times, seven times a week, right? There and even some forms of psychoses and other things, not just minor issues. There's minor issues, and yeah, some people are helped with pain, but you can get the active agent and that out without getting stoned and smoking the pot. Clearly, there's one high involved in there. But the point is, there are studies, and yet, excuse me, so many states have made pot legal, right? It's up to 26 now or whatever, and the age is much younger. And yet we're seeing now forms of mental illness and whatnot. Some of this they've known about. And again, if people think I'm blowing smoke, bad pun intended, then go look. Go read some of the studies. Look up scientific peer-reviewed studies on the effect of pot, of smoking pot, of marijuana. And it's pretty chilling. Yet it's going on, and we've opened the barn door. Because why? Because there's money to be made, and people want to believe it, and we generally give people what they want, right? So if people want to be immoral and be, frankly, stupid and ruin their lives, hey, if we can make money off it, you bet. I'll support that. Knock yourself out. Wow. My friend, I'm not saying this because I have some type of hype that I want to micromanage your life, but also I don't want to have to pay for all your mistakes either and have to support you because you never grew up, because you never developed completely mentally as you should, because you were stoned all the time playing video games.
Wow. Why don't you say what you really mean sometime, Professor?
I really don't have much of an opinion.
That's what I'm saying, man. You know, we need you to step it up, man. If you're going to be doing this traveling around the world, you have to be a little bit more bold, if I would, you know, because we need you, man. We need you to step up your game. But anyway, folks, if you want to step up your game, we have about 30 minutes left on the broadcast, a little less, so give us a call, 888-995-5552, 888-995-5552, our Bible Info Brokers for the various four. Like you just heard a question from Truth Social, Facebook, email at our .com website, or tweet our messenger. You know, we have a question from messenger from Reverend Phil I'm going to get to about the Jehovah Witness and Annihilation. But before we do that, I'm going to try to bring up Darnell, who's just calling in right now from Fullerton, and deal with the phone call because I know we're going to be running out of show real fast, PCH. Darnell, almost my namesake from Fullerton. Thanks for calling in.
Hey, may God bless you, brother.
Just a
quick question. I was wondering, in the prophetic biblical timeline, when will human beings no longer be able to have children?
Wow. You said, let me make sure I got it. No longer to be able to have children in the prophetic timeline.
Yeah, women won't be able to bring children into the earth or on the earth anymore.
Well, let me say this before PCH, I toss it to you. Well, I remember it was... talk about as far as, not that it's not going to happen like that, but my understanding is that in the last days, as it were, they were saying it'd be better if you did not have children. And many times, and all through Ecclesiastes and other places, the Bible mentioned that people wish they weren't born. But Craig, is there a timeline where humans will no longer be able to have children?
Well, that's a great question that Darnell's asking. I would argue the Bible doesn't really say anything about that. I believe in the millennial kingdom, and even in the millennial kingdom, people will be able to procreate. Now, things say it could be so bad towards the end of time and the second coming of Christ due to radiation and all types of health problems because of the radical chemicals we use and pollution and what have you, that many people won't be able to. But I'm at least not aware of any time where universally or across the board in general, people will not be able to have children, not be able to procreate. I mean, certainly at times it becomes much more difficult. And I think given some of the chemicals we find out that make people sterile, all kinds of stuff, that, you know, many will because of that. But I'm not aware of at least of any passage that I could use to say, here's a time in human history when people will not be able to have kids. Now, in the afterlife, I'll make that argument.
Yeah.
But not in this life, even in the millennial kingdom, would be my understanding.
Darnell, can I ask, where did you hear that from, or did you maybe miss a little something in there? Because I'm very curious to know what made you come up with that question.
Basically, I was talking to a friend about the rapture, and if children that are the children of unsaved would be taken in the rapture, or would they be left here on earth to go through the tribulation period? And then I was wondering what would happen to the children that were born after the rapture, you know.
Yeah, that's a great point. So, but But during the new heavens and new earth, there's still going to be apparently some people who, that's my understanding. That's the problem, I would argue. That's a great point, and that question comes up if you hold that view in eschatology, but I don't personally. So I believe there are people who are going to live through until literally the second coming of Christ. And what have you. Otherwise, it would appear that the only humans would be non-believers, but they're under the judgment of God. So that does bring up this question and create these complexities. But I would argue, given my view, that's not really an issue.
Okay. Darnell, man, that's an excellent question, brother. We really appreciate you participating.
Thank you. Thank
God bless you, man. Thank you very much. You can go ahead and hang up on yourself. I got you. Oh, thank you. Anyway, 888-995-5552. 888-995-5552. PCH, we talk about all this LGBTQ, and we have some alphabets I want to talk about, too. And it's very important that we talk about it from the perspective of people supporting this ministry. You do the alphabet thing, and I'll do the execution thing.
Thanks, Carol. Yes, I mean, we are a faith-supported broadcast. Yeah, God supports us, and he does it through his people. And our number one concern is your prayers, and we really mean this with all honesty. Most important for us is that you pray for us. Yeah, and some of you may be going, yeah, you guys are off your rocker. I'm going to be praying for you. Well, okay, praise God. I'll take at least the prayer. But we covet your prayers because we believe God works through prayer. Prayer's not powerful, but God powerfully works through the vehicle of prayer. He's the one that ordained it. It has no innate, inherent power in it, but God works through it because he's the one that invented it and told us to do it. Excuse me. But yes, things, one's just normal expenses, the radio broadcast and the website. We have the BIB, Bible Info Broker General Fund, and if you don't designate your funds in any way or what have you, that's where the funds go, to support financially the broadcast and the materials we give away and so on and so forth. We also have the Faithful Friend Fund, and that's what we use to pay the health insurance of our dear brother Brian Allen. He went to be with the Lord last September for his wife's health insurance. Brian was faithful, and so is his wife, and we believe it's right and good before the Lord that we help provide as we're able through the ministry.
Indeed.
And then lastly, there's a TOT training, which this is important to me because next the 22nd, not this Thursday, but the following Thursday, I should be taken off again for India and for then Nepal in the training of trainers, the training of pastors, missionaries, and other Christian leaders as well. Say, well, what are other type of Christian leaders? People like who are Christian educators, teachers, who maybe are not necessarily pastors or missionaries, if you will, in one sense, who, you know, help run schools and all kinds of stuff like that, run a Christian daycare center, so on and so forth. We train them. We pay for their flight or their travel to the area where we meet. We pay their food and lodging, that is a room and board. And, of course, the training is free. And we do that because they speak the languages, ethnically they fit in. We don't. We don't know the languages. I've been spending years, and in some regions of India, there's over 500 dialects. I've been there where two guys next to each other, one in the hills and one in the valley, can't speak to each other. They hardly even talk in their languages because the dialects are so different. But they speak English. Most of them speak English and speak it well. And so we're able to share with them or to have translators when we need to, and we do that as well. But the point is, your finances makes this possible. It allows us to get over there. It allows us to pay for their travel. I've got 3 or 4 guys coming from Nepal. We're paying their airfare. We're paying their flight down to the area where we're meeting. And then others can't make it. I'll meet them in Nepal itself out of Kathmandu. But at any rate, that's what your donations go, your finances, your help. You allow us to pay for Bibles, for literature for them, to give them funds to continue, many of them sharing the gospel, literally the people we're working with, and parts of India that are unreached with the gospel. That's pretty worthwhile, in my humble opinion. And so you make that happen. It's as if you're going with us when you can do that financially. But even if you can't do it financially, if you can, praise God, thank you. Whatever you can do, after you support your local fellowship, but prayer is vital. Not just not being robbed in some of the areas I go into and things like that, but from the police themselves,
yes.
Corruption and the government from being offended at us by sharing the gospel and equipping Christians. They're not giving us thank you notes. discussion for another time. I can assure you of that. The times they've hauled me in before them, they've never given me a thank you. So at any rate, my friend, we, a bottom line, really, really appreciate. Indeed, we covet your prayers. And if you're able, as you're able, if you can support it financially as well, Daryl's going to tell you how you can do that.
Well, let me say how we don't want you to do it. Like I said, if you have a choice to make, pray for us. We appreciate that. The second thing, if you have a choice between this and a place you go to fellowship at, you exercise your spiritual gifts, and you go to Bible studies there and things like that, do not take away a dime of that resource to that church, to that fellowship that you go to. We don't want a dime of that. I believe, technically, we've been doing this for years, that is, to me, is dishonoring to God for you to snatch money out of there where you should be supporting, make sure the lights are on and the pastors are paid and people, you know, things, just make sure the operation where you go is intact because of you and what you've been given. Don't take any of that and send to us. However, you could take away from some of that extra pizza, some of them extra cookies, and all those other things that you can think of as extra. That's the Lord's money anyway. And then send all that to us. Send all that to us. Hey, Craig, I was just saying straight up, send it all to us. Well, I don't care if it's $1 or $1 million. Send it all to us. We got places for it to be. So take care of your local ministry, but send the remains that you have, and you know, be exactly generous as you can, but also be financially responsible for the things that you have going on. And the Lord knows the situation, and you should be including the Lord in how you distribute his money that you are steward over. So simply do this. Go to our website, do it online at Bible Info Brokers. Click support and donate. Follow the instructions. That's all that needs to be said on there. There's a slight fee involved with it. Now I'm going to talk about the non-fees. Zelle, Z-E-L-L-E. You know about Zelle if you have an online account. You can sell us the money with no fee whatsoever. So whether it's Zelle, if you're going to write out a check or have your bank write out a check for you and mail it in, we need you to make sure that the information is succinct on the check and also on the envelope. It must be out to LBTW, or spell it out, Living by the Word, if you wish, LBTW, or Living by the Word, and P.O. Box 90477 is the address, Los Angeles 90009. Once again, LBTW, P.O. Box 90477 in Los Angeles 90009. I know I just heard someone say out there in my mind, easy, you didn't give the Zelle email address or phone number. Here it is, livebyword@aol.com. It's the same as that we have on our online presence, livebyword@aol.com. Thank you, thank you, thank you in advance. Now, when Craig mentioned prayer, I also want to mention this, PCH, that online, people, we ask you to send your questions, of course. But also, I want you to take advantage, just like Bonnie did, about prayer requests. So I'm going to put out there, I'm going to ask that you all pray for Mary and Greg and put them on your prayer list. Mary and Greg is battling cancer. This is Bonnie's friend, our family members. Please, please, please pray for them about the situation they're dealing with cancer and anybody and everybody else that may be going through that. And so we really, really solicit your prayers in that area as well. I'm mentioning it online because we're not technically getting into a lot of prayer because we can spend this whole broadcast on prayer alone. Question and answer format, but I do want to give that information out. Please, please, please pray for Bonnie's friends, our family members, Mary and Greg, who's dealing with cancer. Thank you, thank you, thank you very much for that. PCH, don't have that much time left, brother, but the time that we do have, I want to invite the people to call Eric right now at 888-995-5552, 888-995-5552, and by doing so, you'll be able to be put in the queue and we get your questions answered from a telephonic perspective. Those that want to use social media, like we just talked about, the internet, then Bible Info Brokers. Bible Info Brokers is the one address for all these formats, Facebook, email, tweet, messenger, or even our .com website to send an email. So we really appreciate that. 100% in advance. PCH, a couple of questions coming from Facebook and also from Messenger. Messenger questions coming from our good friend, Reverend Phil. I'll read it this way. First of all, I want to welcome you back, Craig. And he says, I have a question for discussion. He said, the Jehovah Witnesses don't believe in hell, but they teach annihilation of the soul. If this is true, why do they even bother to get converts? if I'm going to be annihilated and that's the end of my existence, why bother? I would just opt for wine, women, and song. You know, in these days, you know, people can add a whole lot of other things and a lot of other alphabets to there, and then die and exist no more when I die. Please explain this doctrine by which, by the way, is one of their tactics to get converts by telling them there is no hell. Your thoughts, our good friend Reverend Phil from Eastvale, California.
Well, sure, and it is interesting. Now, in some sense, of course, I do believe the new earth,
yes,
which they talk a lot about. Only the 144,000, about the original J-dubs, they believe they're going to be in heaven, and everybody else gets the new earth. But allegedly, it's a pretty cool place. I don't recall them talking a lot about it, but it's cool enough that it's worth it. But there's a good argument that Phil is hitting there. I have to agree. If I have to go door to door and live a life as a slave practically now, and they keep track of their hours, what they spend going door to door and doing service in the watchtower and the local kingdom hall, I should say. You got to do all that, and then allegedly heaven's worth it. Hey, yeah, exactly. What's really ends the argument is let's just party. Let's go for it. Let's party big time, indulge myself in whatever it is that I enjoy, and take annihilation. Annihilation, it's over with. Who cares? In one sense, you never know the difference. But, hey, as long in this life, I could really go for it. I can be the ultimate party animal, however I choose to indulge my fallen human nature. And so, yeah, and now I'm not arguing for hell just because I don't want it to be true. I wish it wasn't. But last time I checked, Jesus talked about it more than anybody. But additionally, excuse me, got this cold here going on. It's reality. We were made to live forever. And God didn't just make us to live for a little while. So they, like Seventh-day Adventists and some other groups, believe in what's called conditional immortality. And actually, I believe Yolanda called last week, and I thought she was going to call tonight. We were going to talk some more about it specifically. Do you remember that, Daryl?
Yes, I did. I have it written down.
Okay, good. So you heard the voices earlier?
Maybe that was her.
Yolanda last week. Good. I'm glad to be at least, well, there's two. I'm crazy. We're both crazy. Guys.
There you go.
But seriously, though, it's not just like people go take a nap and then God wakes them up from sleep. It's that people go out of existence, period. They no longer exist. And then God reconstitutes them in the sense of reconstitution. By that, I mean, I take something out of the freezer and liquefy it or what have you, or heat it in the microwave, but literally brings them back into existence. And that's what Jehovah's Witnesses believe, conditional immortality in Seventh-day Adventists. Whereas the biblical view is we were made forever. You're going to exist somewhere. It's not a question of if, but where. And either in the presence of God or in a place of punishment. And I do want to say this because, again, I hate that topic as much as anybody. I wish the Bible didn't talk about it. I wish Jesus hadn't talked so much about it. But here's the deal. Hell is hell by very definition because it's a rejection of God. If indeed, as the Bible says, as the Christian view teaches, that everything good is from God, everything good. And I don't just mean singing in the choir and heavenly music and, whatever someone thinks of spiritual stuff, but great cooking, incredible cuisine, playing golf there, I'll play it well, or basketball, or whatever sport. I mean, the guitar, music, whatever it is in life we're talking about. Those are gifts, those are talents, those are abilities that are in God and all come from God and have their source in Him. So let's say, take some of the famous, musicians and rock and rollers who I'm going to hell, I'm going to party with the devil.
Right.
No, you won't be partying with the devil. You won't be playing a guitar or any other musical instrument. You're going to be miserable because everything good is not with the devil, is with God. And when you reject God, you reject all that is good, which means all the things you may say you truly love, like great music, whatever type that may be, mm-hmm. that will no longer exist for you because you've rejected God, And those gifts, those talents are from him, and they are only on loan to you. Now, you want to talk about something that's given to you and is conditional. It's those talents and abilities.
Yes.
And so hell, by definition, is hell because God is not there. But basically, people like Frank Sinatra want to say, I did it my way. I'm going to do it my way. I'll do what I want to do. You certainly will, and you will certainly suffer the consequences, just like in life. You want to drink like a fish, then don't be surprised when you get cirrhosis of liver. You want to smoke like a chimney, then don't be surprised when you get lung cancer. I mean, why are people shocked? It's like, no kidding. And if you want to live like the devil, you will end up with the devil, and it ain't, bad grammar, good point, going to be fun. It'll be miserable because it is devoid of everything that is good and worthwhile and worth living for, which is ultimately God himself.
Man, I love that song, Do It My Way. I did it my way. I love that song. Anyway, you know what? Brother Dan had kind of added on to what we were just talking about. And he said, well, what are you going to say about those that would say that when in the Bible it talks about eat, drink, and be merry, for tomorrow we die?
Well, that's a rhetorical argument. That is the reductio ad absurdum, the Latin phrase. You take someone's view and show that it leads to absurdity, or here's the consequences. So Paul's point is, if there is no afterlife, if there is no resurrection, exactly, if there's no resurrection, some to life everlasting and some to destruction everlasting. Look at Daniel, for example, in the Old Testament, Daniel chapter 12, verses 2 and 3. Daniel 12, 2 and 3, then Paul's right. Then eat, drink, and be merry. Live it up. Because tomorrow you die and party's over with. It's done. So why not indulge yourself in any desire, lust, or whatever it is you have? Go for it. If there is no God, if there is no afterlife. Oh, but if there is an afterlife, if there is a God, you might want to seriously reconsider that. And I would argue, Daryl, as someone when I was younger, I lived a pretty wildlife. I definitely was out there. That's why I was chuckling. People like, oh, you're a good Christian boy. Like, you know, pot and drugs and that. It's like, I can write books on that stuff. Are you kidding me? Don't even deceive yourself, homie.
Like it's 19. Hey, look, compared to you, I was a bore, man. Compared to you, I was a boring life.
Right? Yeah, me and Prince. No, I mean, seriously, I lived a pretty, bohemian lifestyle. That's a nice way to say
it. Man, that's three syllables. You messed me up on that. I thought you were going to only use two syllables tonight.
but you know, Daryl, at the end of the day, it was empty.
Yeah,
was
yes, empty. Sir. Yes, sir.
I did all that stuff. I had a friend whose brother was a dealer of a major type of drug, and I could get all I want. I never had to pay for it. And we had unlimited supply available to us. But at the end of the day, it was empty. And I'd say, here's the weirdest thing, and I'm just being really honest here. I mean, this has been a long time now, but I remember just being stoned out of my mind, playing cards or some, generally the card game, right? And I was running from God. I knew better, and I was running from God. I was in the world because I thought that's where I was going to find real happiness and fulfillment. And I remember running from God. I was a proverbial prodigal son. I was a Jonah, in a sense, in a very limited sense. And then I'd have people start talking about God, and I just remember going,
you can't run faster. You know, you wasn't fast, white boy. You wasn't fast enough.
We're sinning like there's no tomorrow, and you're talking about God? I'll never forget that. I'm telling you, I remember this one apartment I lived, and I remember sitting at this table, this glass table, and these guys start talking about God, and I'm like, I'm on the run from God, and you're talking about God. Leave me alone. Yeah? I can't even get stoned and find solace. And I'm just speaking crassly. I'm being honest. I'm using that vocabulary. That was a lifestyle I lived for a while.
See, well, that's why you shouldn't do drugs, because you can't run fast enough, even in your mind.
No. All you do is make yourself a lot poorer in general and brain damage. Now, I'm sure my friend's brother eventually got busted. He was a big-time dealer with all kinds of things. But I'm just telling you, that's the life I lived for a while. Yeah. I've been there, done that, and it's empty.
I tell you, man, it's so many things going on. I want you to I won't say it this week, but I've said this expression before on that little text I sent you guys about was my particular national thing. I want to start this national group. I'm not going to mention it this week, but you have to turn it next week. I may mention it next week. But I sent you guys about, is it biblical? I'm waiting for your response. Matter of fact, just tell me if it was biblical or not, if you remember what I sent you about a picture of mine and then what I'm trying to start a national group. If not, then just send me an answer later, Craig. I already got the other guy's answer.
Are you talking about your Scottish background?
No, not quite. But you'll see it. But listen, folks, we only have about a few minutes left in the broadcast. I do want to get one question answered before we go, and it's from Brother Timothy on Facebook. He is asking a question in regards, and this is getting back to my old Science of Mind days and also sort of Word Faith days. When I transitioned from the Science of Mind to the Word Faith movement, then I got out of there and found out about a lot about the Bible by simply reading it. And Timothy wants to know, does our thought pattern affect our external condition? Is it biblical that negative thoughts have any pull on our physical reality? That's from my good brother Timothy.
I think some people overcall it, but sure. I mean, our thinking has physiological consequences. Think of what the term somatic or psychosomatic. That is where one's thinking, worry, stress, whatever, has physiological, biological effects upon our body. And so I want to be careful because I'm not just doing this, we'll think positive, happy thoughts or attitude is everything. That's not biblical. But certainly there is some truth. That is, if one... my dad used to say, and I think this is appropriate here as an example of this, there is in logic what's called the almighty will fallacy. Is it, basically, if you can will it, you can do it.
Mm.
Okay, I desire that I run a 1 minute mile. It's not going to happen. I can't run a 10 minute mile. Are you kidding me? I can't walk it. Maybe I can walk a 20 minute mile. But seriously, I mean, so it's the almighty will fallacy. My dad used to say to me when I was younger, can't never could do nothing. Can't never could do nothing. Now, bad grammar, but he did it on purpose. In other words, if you don't think, if you don't try to do something, if you don't have any aspirations or thoughts that it is attainable, then assuredly you will never do it. But just thinking it, and now I'm referring to all these so-called PMA, positive mental attitude books. Mm-hmm. I think of the Tony Robbins or Robinson. I think of Zig Ziglar and all this stuff, some of it purportedly being Christian. John Maxwell, all this motivational type stuff where you just got to think positive thoughts. You got to be positive and all that. That's not necessarily true either. Yeah, I think we should be biblical. I should be a realist. I should believe in God, not believe in the God who believes in me, said Robert Schuller. He believes I'm a big sinner, yes. Believe in God and trust God and believe that if the Lord wills it, then you're indestructible, that you will accomplish what God has for you. But the emphasis is upon God, not upon ourselves. So whole motivational type stuff, I reject that, most of that, all that stuff. There's at best a bunch of half-truths. Yeah, if you don't think, if you don't ever try something, you'll never do it, if you psych yourself out. But just thinking happy thoughts, positive thoughts, is not necessarily going to bring about a change. Think of Rhonda Burns in the book, the book she did, was it The Promise or what have you, where she talks about this, and it's the law of attraction. If you just think these happy, positive thoughts, that's always going to produce or give you good stuff. Daryl, that you know from your background in religious science, that is not true. It's a half-truth.
Yes, indeed, indeed. Well, I don't know if you heard it, Craig, but I heard it from our dear extraordinaire engineer, Ozzy. We only have about a minute left, 90 seconds to be exact. So I want to thank Brad for posting something on our Facebook page. And if you're interested, folks, go back and read Brad's comments about football and racism and things like that. I think it's interesting. I was trying to read most of it. Very interesting. So just check it out, folks, on our Facebook page, Bible Info Brokers. PCH, give me 30 seconds of what your final thoughts are.
Well, you know, Daryl, I got to go to a wedding in Central California this weekend, and it was just such a joy. There's so many good, wholesome, beautiful things to celebrate, such as marriage and the love that God gives us towards one another, and the time I had catching up with old friends and making new ones. I don't want to sound all negative, like I always advise a downer. No, there are things that are beautiful, that are wonderful. I love my rose bushes, but I don't take the dirt from my rose bushes and throw it on my carpet now. Mm. Things belong where they belong appropriately, and there's some things that are wonderful, and they're all found in Jesus Christ.
PCH, thank you very much for that. And folks, on behalf of PCH, Ozzy and Eric, my name is Daryl Easy D. Fulton, Mama Grace, and Big Daddy's baby boy. And just simply saying this, please, please, please pray for us. We have individual things going on in our lives, and we have our collective ministry that we come in with the Bible Information Brokers. Keep Eric, Ozzy, Craig, myself, in your prayers, folks. We really, really cover those prayers, and we thank you for it. But if the Lord is willing, we'll be back next week, because he gives us breath in our body, then we'll join you next week. And you, the teammates out there, please take advantage of our social media. Start posting some things. Get your questions in there. Don't forget to read about the chronological reading through the Bible daily posting, and also check out the Bible study. Just go to our website and just avail yourself to that and look at all of our various social media needs and offer your suggestions. We thank you for that in advance. God bless until the Lord brings us back next week together. Amen.
Three-star general Michael J. Flynn, head of the Pentagon Intelligence Agency, knew all the government's dirty secrets.
He was one of the most respected generals in the military.
Flynn knew what the intel world had been up to. He understood its funding.
He ordered the first audit of the use of contractors. This set off alarm bells.
The explosive new documentary, Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost, and covers the facts behind this scandal.
Flynn told the truth. He was the most dangerous person for Donald Trump to hire.
I find out the worst enemy that I'm going to face in my life is right here in America. They took my assessment and they wanted me to change it. And I was like, I'm not changing it.
They had to get rid of Flynn.
With in-depth interviews, archival footage, and never-before-seen personal records of the man behind the headlines.
I just felt like I was drowning.
Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost. Available now. Watch it today. Go to SalemNow.com. SalemNow.com.